And we will look at the story of Jacob and Esau. Please turn to Genesis chapter 25, verse 28, where it says, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So here we see that the parents loved either one of the children. And it is written specifically that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. Then we go to, we look at chapter 27, verse 2 to 10. I'll read. Isaac said, I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Here we see Rebekah conspiring with Jacob to get the blessing from Isaac because Rebekah loved Jacob. Then the plot continues. Jacob needs a wife. And he goes to his uncle's house, Laban, to look for a wife. And he's given Leah first before Rachel. And his desire was for Rachel, not for Leah. So you see, Laban also favors Leah and instead cheats Jacob out of Rachel. And he has to work another 7 years to get Rachel. So we read in chapter 29, verse 30 to 32. Where it said, Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. He named him Reuben, for she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. The plot thickens again. Rachel bears a son called Joseph. And Jacob loves Joseph more than he does his other brothers. So in Genesis chapter 37, we see that 37, 3 to 11. Now Israel is Jacob's other name. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field when suddenly My sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told it to his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So I wonder, what matter did Jacob keep in mind? Did Jacob see a problem in loving Joseph? Did he see as if Joseph was beyond himself because of the love he had bestowed on him? And now he was lording it over his brothers. I wonder what matter it is that he kept in mind. So those are examples of the Bible verses that we have showing favoritism. So we come to our modern day society. A lot of vocabulary has come up because of the words favoritism and therefore discrimination. One of them is ethnicity, where one tribe is favored against another, because probably the leadership comes from that one tribe. And I remember back in the day when I was younger, my name comes from one region of the country. But if I just removed the H in the name Mutahi, I would be perceived to be coming from another region of the country. And at the time, the leader of our country came from that part of the country where the H was not included. And I was considering seriously changing my name, but thank God I didn't. So that is part of what we see in ethnicity. Racism, one race against another. The color of your skin kind of gives you favoritism in society. And racism is really deep because it's not just the color of your skin, but even when you fall in one color, the shade of your skin, you know, the hue, you know, are you darker than the other? There are people who consider that too as they favor you because of that difference. Then sibling rivalry. I believe that a lot of sibling rivalry comes from favoritism being extended to one or the other. And this is something that I remember I was very conscious of when I was bringing up my boys, such that whenever I bought them anything, I made sure I bought them the same color, everything, so that nobody says that, oh, I wanted the red one or I wanted the blue one, just so that they feel that they're equally loved. Then we have classism. Classism is favoritism of one class in society over another. For example, as we have seen in the reading in the book of James, where the poor man was not considered to be given a higher place in the sitting. Then there is body shaming. One body type is preferred over another. If you're slim and tall, you're favored. But that is in one part of the world. In other parts of the world, if you're slim and tall, you're actually fattened up so that you can fit in that category. Then there is ageism, where this is the young against the old. So you find that there is favor of the young and not the old, or the other way around. And in some societies, you find that the aged are actually exterminated. They are gotten rid of because they are old. And many more. Now, in my view, I think that there is abuse of power by the person who is favoring. Let's take, for example, a teacher's pet. You all know a teacher's pet. We've all been in a class and we know. When a teacher's pet sneaks on you, who has given that power to the teacher's pet? It is the teacher. So he's abusing his power. He's abusing the power that he has, and he's giving a false sense of power to the teacher's pet. So what are the repercussions that we see manifesting in people who have not been favored? We see that the people who are not favored, people who are favored lord it over others, just like Joseph did to his brothers in his dream. Poor Joseph, he was just telling his dream, but somehow his brothers felt that he was lording it over them because of the experiences they had before. Joseph had been favored by his father and he had been given this beautiful coat, and the others had not been given. So they saw it as lording it over them. So then the other one is suppressing others. And this could come out as emotional suppression because of others being favored and you not being favored. Then there is a superiority complex, showing that you are more important than other people. Then there's the attitude of entitlement. When you go before people, or when you are in a crowd, you think that you're entitled to something just because you have been favored. So what are the repercussions on those who are not favored? There is hatred or dislike towards the favored, just like the Joseph's brothers towards Joseph. They have low self-esteem. They feel demoralized. They have feelings of worthlessness. One of the great writers, the late Maya Angelou, who has written the book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, said, I have learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. Now, what is our hope? Our hope is that as we learn about favoritism, as we learn about discrimination, we will work in our own small ways not to extend the same to those around us. Our hope is also that God will make it right in his own time, just like he did for Leah. where it is written that when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb. So God showed mercy and favored Leah because he saw that Leah was not loved. And I believe that God will do this in his own time. In his own time, as in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, where it says, "But do not forget one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Amen.
Church, we've heard what God wanted us to hear today. So let us go out and be doers of these words. You have marked your Bible where Catherine was, where the sermon came from. Now mark, let even that word mark your heart. So that as you go out there in the world, as you go to your job, as you go back to your family, you may light up the situation you find yourself in. May the Lord bless his word. May the Holy Spirit impact it in our life, that it will change us as we go out and also change the community. Amen.